Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. As clinicians, we spend a decade or more as trainees learning to take care of patients. When we finally start our careers, we want to build research programs, but then we find that our years of clinical training did not adequately prepare us to lead a research program. Through no fault of our own, we struggle to find mentors, and when we can't, we quit. However, clinicians hold the keys to the greatest research breakthroughs. For this reason, the Clinician Researcher Podcast exists to give academic clinicians the tools to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. Now, introducing your host, Teosi Onwemena. Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast. I'm your host, Teosi Onwemena, and what an absolute pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for joining. Today, I'm talking about setting the thermostat for your academic environment, and I'm talking about different strategies that may work and strategies that leave you a little bit more challenged in your ability to set the thermostat. And I will tell you that this particular episode and the inspiration for it comes from a conversation I had with one of my mentors recently, and she talked about the importance of setting the thermostat for your own home. And specifically, actually, she was talking about the fact that, you know, you can worry about the temperature or you can air condition your home. He's like, your job is not what the temperature is on the outside. Your job is the air conditioning in your home, is setting the temperature in your home. And I just remember from that conversation, I literally had it was one of those epiphanies, or actually it was more like a mind-blowing moment. Like, oh, this is so profound. And for that reason, I thought to record a podcast episode on the importance of setting the thermostat for your academic environment. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was caught up in this place, which, to be honest, I'm caught up in often, and I try not to be caught up in it. And part of how I do that is to stay busy and stay out of these conversations, but I got caught up. And what did I get caught up in? I got caught up in one of those conversations where we talk about how everything is falling apart and going to hell in a handbasket and everything is just not working. And to be honest, in healthcare, there are a lot of those moments where we can sit and just lament the challenges that are happening around us. And I work very hard to try to stay out of those conversations because they weigh me down. And then I really can't move forward because I'm so overwhelmed by the badness. And this was one of those where, you know, you can't get away from the conversation because it just feels so right. And there's just so much energy and you really want to have the conversation and you want resolution to what you're talking about, but there's no resolution. No matter what, that conversation always ends in you feeling badly. So that's why I try to avoid it, but I wasn't able to successfully. But anyway, this particular analogy of the house and the condition outside and setting the thermostat in your own environment made me start thinking about our academic environments. And in reality, goodness, there's so much that's wrong. And if we could just, like, you know, list all of it, we would be completely overwhelmed. And actually, if we only just shared a little bit of what's going on in our academic environments, we would be, I mean, it's kind of demoralizing actually sometimes. And so I thought about what are some of the conditions that can challenge your ability to set the thermostat of your academic environment and some situations or some scenarios that enhance your ability to do that. And what am I talking about when I'm talking about setting the thermostat of your academic environment? It's saying what is conducive for you. So we live in this big ecosystem, and there's a sense, especially when we first get started, that we've got to just go with the flow. It's like status quo. We're just doing what everybody else is doing, or we just do what we're told to do. And then in some areas, we're finding that, you know, there's a rub. It's like, I know this is what they told me to do, but it's not working for me. But we want to be team players and we want to just, you know, we want to do what everybody else is doing, or we want to do what we're told to do. And so we're just going with it. But boy, it's not really working for us. And we're like, oh, I don't like the way it's working. And we're afraid. We're afraid to try to change things, even though changing things means that it works better for us. And we're afraid because we're like, well, you know, they want us to do this. And if we change anything, it will be frowned upon. And one of the things we don't realize is that our thriving is more important than our conformity. And to be honest, people make the rules and they make the rules for different reasons, but they don't make the rules to stifle you, or they don't make the rules to take away your ability to think, or your ability to be innovative, or your ability to create. Because the better you do, the better they do. In any environment, when people thrive, they bring their best selves to the table. They are more creative. They're more amazing. And so, in reality, even though it would seem that the environment is asking you to conform, in reality, the environment wants you to create your own thing in the midst of the rules. And so, part of our strategy is to think about how do we understand the rules so well that we know when they can be broken or how they can be successfully broken, right? And sometimes we do it successfully and sometimes we don't. But in reality, continuing to shape our environments so that we can thrive is important, because the alternative, the part where we're in conformity and we just hate life, oh my gosh, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't serve anybody. You're miserable and they also are not happy to work with you, because when you're miserable, you look bad, you have this attitude about you, you don't even do your work very well. And so being miserable. resources, you're applying for bigger funding, you're looking for more resources. But it's a beautiful thing because you get to create the environment you want. You get to be, you know, you get to, you know, put in all these green energy saving technology that allows you not to feel the, you know, not to have so much of a gap between like the external temperature and the internal temperature. But what it does take is investment. It takes time. It takes investment and it takes time to be able to build your own home in the academic environment. It takes you having a body of work, something you're known for, something people ask you to come and give talks about, something that you're consistently moving forward in the place of funding or in the place of scholarship. You're building it. It takes time and you're doing it. And at the end of it, it is your home. At the end of it, it's your place. At the end of it, it's yours. And it's so, so important. It's so important. But recognize that it really, really takes time. But the beautiful thing is that the moment it's built, that other people are able to come under your umbrella and you're able to set the temperature to a temperature that's conducive for them. You're able to treat your mentees with respect and with honor, and you're able to help them in the way that maybe you weren't helped. You're able to create an environment that encompasses at least a couple of other people, right? It's a home. It's not a city. And that's why number five is building a city. And this is where you are saying, okay, I'm going to encompass a couple of homes within my enterprise. And that takes more energy. It takes more investment, but it's an opportunity to grow your footprint in terms of the people that you bring in to an environment that's conducive, to an environment where people are treated with respect, to an environment where people's careers are advanced, where you're not fighting with people over their future and yours. It's an opportunity for you to do more. But it always starts small. It always starts with coming back to where you are. Now, whether you're homeless or whether you have your own, you know, couch in your mentor's home, you do have a space that belongs to you. And it may not be an ideal space, but it's an opportunity for you to set the tone of that space. What is it going to look like around you? How are people going to be treated around you? Are people going to be treated with respect? How are people going to feel when they come into your program? How do you help mentees advance? How do you make sure you're not taking things from them that they have expectation that they're supposed to have? For example, they want to be first author and you're like, oh, no. I'm going to be first author on this one, even though you've done all this work. You know what I mean? It's how are you building an environment that helps and heals in a way that you didn't have, in a way that you didn't have that when you were coming up? And maybe you're still there where you're still waiting for your mentors to kind of give you the best of what they have. And maybe they're falling short. And just because you may not have gotten the perfect situation doesn't mean you have to dish it out to other people as well. What kind of environment are you building? And so I say all that to encourage you that you would think about the space you have. And rather than be overwhelmed with all that's going on around you, ask yourself, what is the space I control? And how do I make it conducive for me to thrive? And if I don't have the resources to do that, where can I go to get the resources? Or where else can I go that's going to support me? But I feel like it is our moral imperative to thrive, because when we thrive, other people around us thrive. Our environment thrives. We create thriving environments. Our patients thrive as well. The work we do matters and we do it joyfully. And so I want to invite you to not accept sadness, anxiety, fear in your environment. I don't want you to accept it as the status quo. And you may say, oh, I look around and everybody is this way. Yeah, everybody is outside. They're feeling the same temperature. But there are people you can't see and they're indoors and they pay a big bill, but they're much cooler than the external environment. And I want to invite you to think about, how do you make the environment you're in right now work for you? What will it take? And you may be like, oh, I'm leaving in 3 months. You're leaving in 3 months, but there are three more months left. How can you make the environment conducive for you while you're still here? So you're not miserable for another 3 months. You're not miserable for another day. And I want to encourage you that it is possible, that it doesn't happen until you decide that you're going to make it happen. And it does take investment. It will cost you, but it's absolutely worth it. to live in the environment you absolutely want to live in, the environment that helps you thrive, the environment that helps you be the amazing person that you came to the academy to be. So five things I talked about. You want to be homeless, where you have no mentoring, no community, nothing. You have no plan. And then you're just like the outside temperature, toxicity, all the problems. They just follow you because you're just going with the flow. You want to be in a situation where you actually have a community, where maybe you're crashing on other people's couches or crashing on your mentor's couch, or maybe you even have a room in your mentor's home, or maybe you even have a cottage built for you out back. And that's great. Find mentors, find a community, and enhance your academic experience. Number three is getting your own rental, where you're like, okay, I'm going to start footing the bill for my own place. Number four is getting your own home, where you're building it and you're like building a space that encompasses other people and creates an atmosphere where they thrive as well. And finally, you can build your own city, where you're like, you know what, I'm going all in on this work, the scholarship, I'm getting funding to move it forward, and I'm creating space for other people too to come in and be part of this amazing environment that I'm building. So I invite you to think differently about the status quo and think about how can you do it differently, where it works for you. And because it works for you, it works for so many other people as well. All right. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. Please share this episode with someone else who needs to hear it. And tell me about what buildings you're building, what you're doing, whether you're renting. I hope you're not homeless, but if you are, I would love to talk to you, get you a place to sleep, a community to be part of, and whatever it takes for you to thrive. I want to be here for you. I want to support you. Let me do that. All right. Have a great, great rest of your week. And I look forward to you talking with you again the next time on the Clinician Researcher Podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. If you found the information in this episode to be helpful, don't keep it all to yourself. Someone else needs to hear it. So take a minute right now and share it. As you share this episode, you become part of our mission to help launch a new generation of clinician researchers who make transformative discoveries that change the way we do healthcare.